Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's March 2nd, 2025, and it's really good to be here. The weather's kind of gotten a little mild here in Virginia. It's been a lot nicer. I think spring is on the way, Ed.
I hope so. I'm ready.
You know, they have this thing, that groundhog in America. They make a big deal out of this Groundhog's Day, and they always do it 6 weeks before spring. Well, there's always six more weeks to spring, so I don't understand it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to some folks in Texas, and they tell me they have an armadillo that they use
there
to do that.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. You know, it's just a reason for people to get together and have a little festival. Yeah. But an armadillo, I hadn't heard that. Uh-huh. But that makes sense. I guess that's armadillo country out there in Texas. But, you know, it's really good to be here. Each and every Sunday, we get to open the Word of God and just look at things and just, like we did the other week, read the words on the page. You know, right before we got on the air here, Ed, we were talking about, we watched a clip of that somebody sent me. It was about 50 seconds or so, and how the person misapplied the scripture.
Right.
And it was obvious when you opened the Bible, you said, well, let's find that verse. And it wasn't even in the context with which the person was speaking. And again, it goes right back to reading those words.
Right. You know, oftentimes people repeat what they've been told, what they've been taught. I what the subject was about who Jesus was and so on. If this man had actually read the text, and he didn't even say where the text was found.
Right.
He just said in the book of Isaiah, if he would have actually read it for himself, he would see plainly what it was talking about.
Absolutely. It's very clear. And then he was adding words to another text.
Right.
And it's amazing how misleading you can be in just 50 seconds.
And he sounded very convincing.
He did. It sounded like he knew what he was talking about. But then when you open the Bible and read those words, and friends, this is what we want to encourage you to do. I know we say it a lot, but open your Bible, read it. And if you need a Bible, we'll send you a Bible. And before we get started, first, we always like to say thank you to Ray Powers.
Yes.
Because, you know, I've been, by the way, all of our radio programs are now on the website.
Our website.
Our website, okay. prophecyhope.com, through last Sunday. So I'm going to try each week to make sure they get there if you miss the live program.
Right.
And, you know, I was looking.
What is our website?
Prophecyhope.com.
Okay.
Prophecyhope.com. The ministry is called Prophecies of Hope.
But we couldn't get that.
No, we couldn't get it. So, but, you know, I was looking, I was goofing around this past week, and I got on the New Visions Radio site, and we have to update a few things there.
Okay.
But I didn't realize we've been doing this since 2013.
Wow.
And it's just,
it doesn't
seem that long. It just goes by quickly, and it's just been a blessing to be a part of this platform where, let's face it, Ed, some of the things that we talk about are really controversial.
Right.
And there are things, I'm sure, that we talk about that our friend Ray doesn't agree with, but he allows us the freedom to be able to do this,
right.
And what a blessing that is.
Yeah.
So it's a great thank you to him. And he might, I don't know whether he agrees or not, but he came and visited us. We had a real nice time together about a year and a half ago. And we got to get together with him again.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about this ministry.
We're just a small little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. We have services on Wednesday evening, which is a prayer time, Bible study time. And that's available via Zoom. We have people, actually sometimes from all over the world, that join us. And then we have our church service on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, which is available live stream or Zoom. And we have our church worship hour at 11, which is available via live stream. And unfortunately, we had some streaming problems last week.
We did. I'm going to try to get to the bottom of that before we come together again this Sabbath. And let's see, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or if you want to reach me, you can email me, mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can just send a general email to office at prophecyhope.com. And the other thing is, if you have a Bible question or if there's something you've been looking for in the Bible, we will try to help you find that. And we'll try to answer that question from the Bible if we have an answer.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes there have been times that we just have to say, we don't know. The Bible doesn't seem to address that particular thing. So don't be disappointed if we can't find a direct answer to the question. But we'll do everything we can to do that. Is there anything else before we get started?
I don't think so.
Do you want to have a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, what a privilege to come to open your word, to study it, to see what it has to say, and to apply it to the times that we're living in right now. Father, as we study these things in your word, the Bible, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them, to be able to apply them to our lives, and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, you've been studying something. You told me that just yesterday you were looking up something in the Bible.
Right.
Could you share some of this with us?
Well, you know, last week we talked about the second coming of Christ.
Right.
And in my studies, it just became apparent, is there anyone today, the day that we live in right now, is there anyone that's looking for Jesus to come, that's wanting for Jesus to come? Are they going to welcome him when he comes?
That's a great question. I think if you ask any Christian, say, oh yeah, I want Jesus to come. But what does their lifestyle show?
Yeah.
Are they ready for Jesus to come?
Yeah, being ready, recognizing the state of this world that's in. And the only answer to the problems of this world is for Jesus to come again.
Amen to that.
So in thinking about this, you know, Jesus has already been here to this earth one time before. He was born as a baby.
Right.
What about back then? Were people looking for him back then?
Ah, yeah. The Bible tells us about that, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I thought it would be good to look and see that not everybody is wanting Jesus to come the first time when he was born. Not everybody was looking for him.
Right.
In fact, there was very few that were looking for him, even though it was proclaimed that he was coming in Bible prophecy.
Sure.
So why don't we look at a few texts that talk about Christ, the Messiah,
okay,
when he came to this earth. Let's go to the book of Micah.
Micah, yeah, that's
it's
right before.
A little book after the book of Daniel in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's right before the New Testament, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little tiny book.
And I want to look at Micah chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verses 2 through 4. Micah chapter 5. Mark's fingers aren't working too good.
No, they're not. There we go. I'm there.
All right. Can you read verses 2 through 4 for us?
Sure. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, to the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up, until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock. In the strength of Jehovah, in the majesty of the name of Jehovah his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth."
So this ruler that's going to come forth out of Judah, out of Bethlehem, is talking about Christ, whose goings forth have been from old, from the days of eternity. And look at verse 4, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of Jehovah, in the majesty of the name of Jehovah, his God." That's talking about Jesus.
Yes, and I want to clarify something, because many times this Micah 5:2 is misapplied, because it does say, "You Bethlehem Ephrathah." First of all, it specifies which Bethlehem.
Yeah,
there were two
Bethlehems. Yeah.
So it specifies which one, and then it says, "Though you are a little among the thousands, there shall come forth to me the one." Let's see. Yes, here we go. "The one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And so many people, when they look at that word everlasting, they think that it means no beginning.
Right.
But from everlasting, the Hebrew is olam, olam, which simply means time out of mind.
Right.
It doesn't mean no beginning.
Right.
You know, we are given everlasting life, but that doesn't mean we don't have a beginning.
Right. You know, in verse 4, it talks about Jesus shall stand and feed in the strength of Jehovah, his Father.
Yes.
When he came to this earth, he was totally dependent upon God for everything. He put his trust in his Father.
And notice it says, and his God.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
yeah,
it.
Yeah, his Father is his God.
And
we
says
see
that
throughout
text.
The New Testament. Most people don't know that Jesus said, I'm going to go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Amen.
When he was on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's talking to his Father, who
yes.
is his God, his rightful authority in his life.
Yes.
So we find here in this prophecy that the Jews of Jesus' time knew that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem.
Yes, they did. And the thing is, we have to keep in mind, this wasn't something that was a new idea to these
right.
people. It's being stated again by the prophet Micah, but all the way back from the time of Adam and Eve, they were expecting a
right.
Savior. They expected a Savior.
Their sanctuary services, the sin offerings mm-hmm. pointed to this Messiah, pointed to Christ, pointed actually to the Son of God in Psalms chapter 2.
Yes.
Would be coming.
Verse 7.
Yeah. And so they were very aware of these things. It makes you wonder, why didn't they recognize the time they were living in?
You know, could it be, I'm sure it wasn't as bad as it is now, but distracted by life itself, too much maybe into what they wanted rather than what God had in store for them.
Maybe they were comfortable in the religion.
Yeah.
And didn't feel or see the need for anything more.
Yeah, well, my church or my synagogue teaches this, so I'm okay. I'm
yeah.
good.
They didn't realize that the shedding of the blood of those animals didn't forgive their sins.
Right.
It only pointed them to the person, the Son of God, that would come and shed his blood where they could find forgiveness of sins, not only for them, but for you and I as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things were pointing to the Christ that was to come, yet they didn't recognize when the time was there.
Mm.
You know, did they have information about exactly when the Messiah would come?
Yes, it's obvious they did, because in the New Testament we see that there were certain ones that were
yeah.
looking for him to come.
We can find that information in Daniel chapter 9.
We can, yep.
Let's go to Daniel chapter 9, and let's just read four verses, 24 through 27.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with the book of Daniel, there's a lot of Bible prophecy in there in terms of what was yet to come in the history of the world. Can you read that for
sure.
us, Mark?
Yeah, this is Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And it gives you a timeline. It says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and suffering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate.
So we know from the Bible, the book of Ezra and the Nehemiah, that there were three kings that were decreeing that the people of Israel in Babylon that were captured there were to return to rebuild the city. And it was completed with Artaxerxes' decree in 457 BC. And that's the date that this prophecy is established. And so if we look at the street shall be built again and the wall, even in times of affliction. Mm-hmm. To understand that 62 weeks, there's 7 weeks before that. So that means 69 weeks.
Right.
And we know that a day in prophecy equals a year. So we're talking total in this 70-week prophecy, 490 years. So 490 minus 7
is 483.
Yeah. And so from 457 BC, 483 equals AD 27.
Okay.
The year Jesus started his ministry.
Because there's no zero year.
Yeah.
Right? We have to remember that.
Yeah.
Now, we have covered this in depth.
Yes.
So hopefully for those of you who are listening, if you're listening for the first time, it might sound a little confusing, but there are sermons and lectures, and even here on these programs, we've talked about this.
Right. So they should have been aware of the time that they were living in from these scriptures.
Yes. In fact, all of the Jewish religious leaders knew these things. And I think the problem is what their expectations were different than what God had in store for them.
Right.
And, you know, we have to be careful of that today.
Yes.
You know,
our expectations sometimes are developed by the church we attend.
That I think that that's not more than more often than not, that is what happens.
By the preacher we listen to, by right. the YouTube videos we watch.
Yes. And that's the thing. We have to go by Scripture. And I think you're going to show us this as we go through this. There were a few that were looking at the Scripture that knew and understood this
right.
time.
Let's look at the first account of that in Matthew chapter 2.
Okay.
And let's read verses 1 through 12. There's some interesting things here.
Okay, Matthew 2.
Yes.
All right, I'm there.
Can you read verses 1 through 12
sure.
for us?
Sure. Yeah, that's not too long at all. And I think everybody that hears this, they'll be familiar with some of
yes.
this, won't they?
Yes.
So Matthew, whether you've read the Bible or not, you might be familiar with this. So it says in Matthew chapter 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' Then Herod the king heard this and was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Didn't we just read that?
Yes.
So he's quoting from the Old Testament here, right?
Yeah, where we were, yeah.
In verse 7 it says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Okay, let's ask a few questions about this.
Sure.
These men from the East, these wise men that came from the East, and it doesn't say how many there were.
Right, it doesn't.
Just so people are aware of that. Are they from Israel?
Let me look here. I'm opening my other Bible.
Okay.
So let's see, what's it say?
They seem to be foreigners.
Yeah, it says, these wise men from the East came to Jerusalem.
Right.
Yeah.
So these men are looking for Jesus, they're looking for the Messiah, but they're not an Israelite.
Right. They're in other words, they weren't instructed in all of the ways like the Israelites were. But evidently they heard something or knew something, and they were studying to see,
yes,
you know, hey, what's going on here? What were they doing, Ed? They were reading it for themselves.
Yes, they had seen the star in the East and come to worship, and they heard about this, wondering where this Christ should be born.
Mm.
And look what the King Herod did in verse 4. And he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they told him.
Right.
In Bethlehem of Judea.
And they quoted Micah 5:2 that we read.
They knew these things.
Yeah.
But they weren't looking for him.
It seems that they weren't teaching it either until the wise men came and started up and said, hey.
So were the religious leaders aware that Christ was to be born at that time?
It seems they were.
They were, yeah. And look, who asked the wise men to let them know when they found him? It wasn't the high priest. It wasn't the religious leaders.
It was Herod.
It was Herod, because he wanted to kill the Messiah,
Well, he
the
wanted
king.
To keep his kingship.
Yes.
He didn't want to be dethroned. Let's think about that.
And so look at verse... you know, it talks about this star in the East. For we have seen his star in the East and have come to worship him in verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
What is that talking about? What's this information that they would know about the star that would represent the Messiah, that would represent the Christ?
So I'm just looking at a reference here.
There's a little bit of information in the Bible about this. It doesn't give us a lot, but if we go to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, there was a man named Balaam. Are you familiar with the name?
I've heard that name, Balaam, yes.
He was a prophet of God who had a conversation with a donkey.
I know that sounds odd, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he... yeah, you know, angel was speaking through the donkey to... get him to obey God, which he didn't want to do. So this prophet Balaam, as the children of Israel traveling through the wilderness towards the promised land, they would come across different territories of different nations, and these nations didn't want anything to do with them. They didn't want them to be able to travel through their land and so on. So a king of one of these nations hired Balaam, who is a prophet of God, prophet of Jehovah, mm-hmm. to curse Israel for him.
Wow.
And every time Balaam went to curse Israel, the king would bring him up on this mountain and say, look over Israel and say, I want you to curse these people. But nothing but blessings would come out of his mouth, because that's what God had him say.
Right.
So this is one of those instances in Numbers 24.
Okay.
And if you could read verses 15 through 17 and look for the word star.
Okay. All right. So this is Numbers. This is an Old Testament book, chapter 24, beginning in 15 through
17.
Okay. So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult.
What is a scepter? Who uses a scepter?
Typically a king.
A king.
Has a scepter, right?
Yes. A star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Maybe these wise men had studied this. Maybe they were aware of this star, whatever it is, that appeared in the sky that they were following. Somehow they knew that that represented what the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the Christ.
It's interesting, in this Bible that I'm using, it's a new King James. It has these little reference markers, and here in this verse 17, it references Matthew chapter 2, okay. Verse 2,
all right,
which we read,
yeah,
which says, here's what it says, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him."
All right.
So it shows that this is not just, it's not just something that we know.
Yeah.
It's, if people study their Bibles, it's pretty common knowledge, isn't it?
Right. So it begs the question today, is there anybody looking for Jesus to come this final time and solve all the issues that sin brings about in this world? Many people are looking to men in this world.
Yeah, I think the majority do. And they look to men to interpret the Bible for them.
Right.
And they look to men to read it and tell me what it means rather than reading it for ourselves.
Right. And that's so important today. I want to go over a few more accounts of people looking for Jesus at that time. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. And this is going to be a longer read, verses 1 through 18. And most people, I think, will recognize this as well.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
Now, remember that these wise men came to the king trying to find out information about where the Christ would be born, where the Messiah was to be born, this king. And they, and the king here, in the process of trying to give them information, went to the chief priest and the religious rulers. And so they were aware that this was about to happen.
Okay, so this is Luke chapter 2.
Yeah, but who did God let know? Who was actually looking and wanting to welcome the Messiah? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18.
You want me to read that?
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay, so here we go. Luke chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David."
Micah 5:2.
Yes. And it says, from the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So we know who this Mary is.
Yes.
Right? And we know who Joseph is. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Imagine that. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, which had been foretold ever since sin occurred in the Garden of Eden, had now come.
Yeah.
The Son of God who shared the glory of his Father.
Yes.
Who Jehovah created the heavens and the earth through Jesus Christ, his Son, came to this earth. And he was born in a barn? No one had prepared anything for his coming. No one was looking for him, it seems. the religious leaders, you would think their whole lives were about, you know, this worshiping God and being ready for the Messiah. All the sacrificial system pointed to Christ coming, and yet they hadn't prepared anything for the Son of God.
Yeah.
Are we preparing our lives for Jesus to come again?
That's the whole reason why we do ministry, is to prepare people. Isn't that what the wise men wanted to know? They went to the king.
They were wise because they were seeking something of great value.
Yes. Are we doing that? That's the question you're asking.
Yes.
Are we willing to take the time to just look and see if these things are true, like they did?
Yeah. Verse 8.
It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Verse 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And thus, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds."
These shepherds, at that time, they were probably the lowest class of people in the society of that day. And apparently they had been looking for the Savior, because it's to them that God sent this angel. And it says in verse 9, "And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were grievously afraid. And the angel says, 'Don't be afraid. I have good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.' And the angel tells them, you know, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born today." Mm-hmm. Can you imagine this multitude of heavenly angels praising God, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men? What that would have been like?
Wow. What a celebration, huh? Because the Savior had actually started doing the things that were prophesied so many years before.
Yes.
Hundreds, thousands of years before.
And what did these shepherds do? They said, "Well, we'll go check it out tomorrow." Is that what they did?
No. It says, let's see.
I think your Bible said they made haste.
Yes. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. And when they saw him, it says in verse 17, they didn't just say, "Well, let's go tell people." No, it says they made widely known the saying which was told to them regarding this child.
Yeah.
So they were excited about the news. They wanted to spread this news.
Yes.
They wanted people to know.
Yeah, they were full of joy. What great news.
Because this has finally come to fruition.
Yes, finally, after all these years, all these from the prophecy in Genesis 3:15, now it's being fulfilled.
That was nearly 4,000 years before. And here so, they're living at that time period.
Are we going to have that same joy that these shepherds have when Christ comes again? Are we going to be telling people, "No, Jesus is coming"?
That's the whole purpose behind ministry, is to warn people that, and you know, we say warn because the world isn't ready for this.
Yeah.
The world is ready for it, but the people are not ready.
Right. And we'll eventually get to Revelation 13 and see how much the world will be ready. It won't be very much.
Wow. That's sad, isn't it? And so you know, when I think about these things, Ed, for nearly 4,000 years, they were looking for this particular time.
They knew the place. They knew the time. The religious leaders knew. They were made aware when King Herod asked them for information about this so he could tell the wise men. They were very aware.
Yes.
Yet they still went about their daily routine, not being prepared for the Son of God to be born on this earth. Mm. It just seemed to make no difference to them.
Yeah, they were so wrapped up in the daily routine, like you said. That's what it is. You get comfortable where you are. Well, you know, my life is pretty good. I'm happy where I am right now. Yeah. But this life is temporary. And what's being offered here, if we follow this through, is not just 70 or 80 years, but eternity with God and His Son.
Let's continue on in Luke 2. Can you read verses 25 through 38?
Sure. So picking up in verse 25 of Luke 2, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him."
All right. So this consolation of Israel is the Messiah. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was looking for the Messiah.
Yeah, my word puts a capital C on that, or my Bible puts a capital C on that word, consolation. Yeah. So verse 26 says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Israel."
So here are two people that were looking for Jesus. Mm. God had promised Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah, seen the Christ. There were a few looking for Jesus, but the majority didn't know that he had come, that he was born on the earth.
Yeah, this woman was pretty old, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is amazing to me as you read through these accounts. A lot of times, we know the story that we've heard, whether it's in church or by another, but we don't read these points that we're looking at right now to see the depth of what took place and the love that God has for us and the fact that the things that he promises, he keeps his promises.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1.
Okay.
Now, Jesus is about to begin his ministry. And again, God is using men on this earth to make people aware of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Mm. Let's read John 19 through 28.
This is John chapter 1.
Yes.
Okay. And you want me to read that?
Yes.
Beginning in verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No."
Let's go ahead and stop there.
Sure.
So here's John the Baptist, who was out in the wilderness baptizing people with the baptism of repentance. Mm. And people are wondering, is this the Christ?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He tells them plainly, "I'm not." And they ask him, "Well, who are you then? Are you Elijah?" He says, "I'm not." "Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." That prophet is a reference to Deuteronomy 18,
okay,
where God tells Moses, "I'm going to send a prophet like you who will speak only the words that I have him speak. And if the people don't listen to them, it will be held against them." And of course, so
that's pointing to Jesus.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
He only spoke the words his Father gave him to speak.
Amen. That's so true.
All right, so let's continue on. Verse 22.
Okay. Then they answered him, "Who are you that we may give you an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And remember, this is John the Baptist, right?
Yes.
He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yeah.
And let's see, how far did you want me to read?
To 28.
Through 28, okay. So in verse 24 it says, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, for Elijah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?'" So I'll read that again. They asked him, saying, "Why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing."
In another gospel, John is saying, the reason I baptize, because the Spirit told me, the one that you baptize and you see the Holy Spirit come upon is the Messiah.
Yes.
John the Baptist and Jesus were relatives.
Yes, they were cousins.
They were cousins. John the Baptist was born about 6 months after Christ was born, yet they never met.
Six months before Christ was born.
Yes, before. Okay. And so that's why he says what he says, that this one that was born after me was actually before me.
Right.
Yeah. And so he's proclaiming that he is not the Christ. Mm-hmm. He is not the Messiah.
Right.
That he's there to proclaim the Messiah and to show the world who the Messiah is.
He was to prepare people for this thing that they were overlooking.
So people were coming out of Jerusalem, coming out of the different cities to go into the wilderness to hear him preach.
Right.
And so let's continue on in John chapter 1. Can you continue through verse 34, starting with verse 29?
Sure. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'"
So here is he proclaiming to people that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, of course, this refers to the Passover lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And then he plainly proclaims in verse 34 that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes. Amen to that. You know, this also just, I always love to point this out. When it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," this was not, like you said, this was referring to the Passover, but this was not a new idea.
No.
Even to those who did the Passover for the first time, because it points all the way back to when Adam and Eve, when there was a sacrifice made for them.
Yes. To hide their nakedness, God covered them with skins of animals.
Yes, and made there was a sacrifice there.
Yes.
So this is the Lamb of God that every worshiper of the true God, he reveals this to them.
Right. So there were a few people looking for Jesus. There were a few people proclaiming that he was here. And it made the people wonder, as we saw when we read about the shepherds proclaiming that Christ had come, was born in Bethlehem.
Mm. I read something here, and I'm looking for it, where it mentioned the Pharisees. Where was that in this text? Because it was, I wish I would have made a note of it. It was as I was reading through here, and I can't find it. But the thing is, the Pharisees should have had great knowledge of all of
this.
Yes. They should have, there shouldn't have been any question in their mind as to who this would be.
Christ had conversations with them, and the Pharisees are asking him, "Well, who are you?" And Jesus says, "I've already told you who I am. Mm. I'm the Son of God." You know, he tells that. And so, you know, they're looking for an excuse not to believe.
Yeah.
Or if they're so concerned about their own influence they have on the people, their own position they have within the society because of their religious leadership, I don't know.
I found it. Yeah, that's the thing. It says in verse 24, those who were sent were from the Pharisees.
Yeah.
So the Pharisees knew these things, but what they're trying to do is they're really— it seems like they're just trying to keep control of the people the way that they wanted to, rather than admit, hey, the Messiah is here. And they should have been ecstatic about this.
Right.
They should have been excited. They should have been bringing people
in. It was the hope of Israel.
Yes. And here they are. They're looking for a reason to not follow Christ.
Not only the hope of Israel, but the hope of the whole
world. Yeah.
And it's the same today. Christ coming again is the hope for the whole world, not just a certain denomination, a certain culture, a certain nation, but for the whole world.
Right. It's really, Ed, if you think about it, it's hope for the universe.
Yes.
Because once everything is done, sin will be gone from the universe. It'll be wiped away.
Right. So what about today? Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9.
Okay.
What about today? Is anybody looking for Jesus?
Mm.
Hebrews 9, verses 24 through 28. If you could read that again, Mark.
Sure. Hebrews 9, beginning in 24, it says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us."
Okay, so this is talking about when Christ was resurrected, he returned to his Father in heaven, and he's become our high priest in the sanctuary, the temple in heaven. There's a literal temple in heaven.
That's what the Bible says.
He appears before the presence of God. So we know the timing of these words.
And so the temple that was built on earth was a replica of the one that's in heaven. It was a model, wasn't it?
Right.
And so that's what we're seeing here. This is showing, this is the live version of the model that was here. Verse 25. Oh, let's read 24 again, if you don't mind. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true." There it is, right? Are copies of the true, "but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
So it says, you know, that Jesus offered himself once in the end of the world. Yours says end of the ages.
Let me see.
What in verse 26?
Verse 26. Mine says in the end of the ages. Yes.
All right. Verse 28, and to those who look for him.
Yeah, mine says to those who eagerly wait for him. That's looking,
yes,
isn't it? If we're eager about something.
He shall appear the second time without sin to salvation.
Hmm.
Sin will be done away with. Sin will have, his blood will be applied in that heavenly sanctuary.
For us.
Yeah. Those that are just will remain just. Those that are unjust will remain unjust still.
In other
words,
that's
what it's talking about.
What you're saying there is you're quoting from Revelation, but what you're saying is that we have a choice to make.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
And at some point, you're going to make a final choice that won't be changed.
I don't remember if we read this last week or not. But this is right on topic, but I want to make this clear. In Matthew chapter 24, it says here in Matthew 24, I just have to find the verse. But as, this is in verse 36, wait a minute. Yeah, I've got it here. In verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man
be."
What does that mean, Ed, as the days of Noah were?
As the days of Noah, if you look at, I believe it's Genesis chapter 6, if you look, that God was really upset with mankind on the earth because they were continually doing nothing but evil. So he decided he's going to destroy mankind from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the sight of God because he was a follower of God.
So it was a time of judgment.
Yes.
And it was a time where people had to make a choice.
Yes.
Right? They could choose to be to have salvation and get on that ark and live according to what God had provided for them.
Right.
Which was a way of salvation.
Right.
Or they could choose death.
Yeah.
They could say, "No, I'm happy where I am. I want to live my life the way I want to live it." We're at a time of judgment.
Yes.
Aren't we? We're living in a time of judgment.
So the wickedness of that day, do we see that in the day today that we live in today?
Absolutely. In fact, that's even what it says right here in Matthew 24. This is Jesus. We're reading Jesus' words here. But he says, "For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away." So it swept away or took away all of those ones who weren't living according to the word of God.
Let's go to 2 Peter.
Okay.
Chapter 3. And I'm going to read this from the Modern King James, so I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 13.
Okay.
2 Peter chapter 3.
I'm there.
It says, "The Lord is not slow," I believe the King James says slack, concerning his promise, as some count slowness, "but he is long-suffering towards us, not purposing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." How many people does God want to experience salvation?
Everyone. Every person.
Yeah.
That's his desire.
Yes. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief of the night," talking about the return of Jesus, "in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up." In Noah's time, there was a flood to cleanse the earth.
Right.
At the end of the age, at the end of the world, there's going to be a fire that cleanses the earth.
Absolutely. And fire is when a fire burns something, it's completely destroyed.
Verse 11. Then all these things being about to be dissolved, what sort ought you to be in holy behavior and godliness, looking for and rushing the coming of the day of God, on the account of which the heavens being on fire will melt away, and the elements will melt, burning with heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Mm. People living a right kind of life, according to the way God created us. Mm. Looking for, not only looking for, but rushing the coming
hastening.
Of the day of God.
Yeah, we and that's the thing. Ed, I think I said this a week or two ago. People say, I want Jesus to come. But what does our lifestyle show?
What are you doing about it?
Right. Are you ready for it? Are you preparing others for it?
Yes.
Are you alerting people? You know, these wise men were very interested in his first coming because they knew, hey, this is our only hope.
Yes.
This is what we've been waiting for. This is...
They had studied the scriptures to find this out.
Yeah. And this is what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
Now, the Bible tells us, and we read it just a moment ago in Matthew, no man knows the day or the hour. So just if you're prepared, you have no reason to worry about the day or the hour.
Yeah. What does Jesus say about the fig tree?
Oh, he cursed that fig tree, didn't he? And it was supposed, is that but the one we're talking
doesn't
about?
Doesn't he talk about when you see fig leaves come out, you know the signs of the season?
Yes.
He relates that to the signs that he foretells and the rest of the Bible foretells about the coming of Christ.
Yeah, there was a couple of fig trees, weren't
yes.
there, that were in the Bible. I just spoke about the one this past
yeah,
week.
Yeah, he's talking about a tree that doesn't bear fruit.
Right.
He's the same with our lives. We don't bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Ed, can we pick this study up next
yes.
week? And we'll try to pick up, we'll do a review of what we just talked about,
right.
and we'll just continue on. We're out
right.
of time. It just goes by so quickly. So let's just have a closing prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to open your word and see these things and to recognize that Jesus is coming soon. Father, may we get our hearts prepared. May we open your word. May we read the words on the page that each person that's listening to this message can take seriously and take heed the warnings that you've given that your son is coming soon. Father, help us to be prepared for this. Help us, Father, to preach the gospel to as many as possible. And please be with us until we come together again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much. I'm excited about next week coming back to this topic. And friends, we hope you'll tune in and be with us again next week right here on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.